in our text that we're looking at, the word heart is referring to, and the Lord is dealing with what we refer to as the seat of the emotions. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. The Lord is referring to the emotional part of the soul here. Now, first of all, we see here about the soul, the heart is deceitful above all things. We're going to look at the nature of the heart of man. It is deceitful above all things. If you can think of anything that is deceitful, there's nothing that is more deceitful in all the universe than the heart of man. It is deceitful in that the heart can appear to be something that it's not. The heart can give the appearance of being happy when you're sad. The heart can give the appearance of being joyful when you're discouraged. The heart can give the appearance of you loving somebody when you truly do not like them. The heart is deceitful above all things. The heart can deceive, for example, the heart of somebody else can produce actions and emotions that would be used to deceive somebody else. For example, you can have young boys that take an interest in young girls and they'll act like that they genuinely care for you and love you when the truth of the matter is they're only out for one thing. And their heart is deceptive and produces deception. The same can also work the other way around as well. A young lady can show interest in a young man and make it look like that she loves him and concerned about him when all she's wanting is somebody to buy her a free meal and spend money on her. Amen? Now, fortunately for me, when I was a teenager, I loved my money more than any person that I went out with. There's only one person that I love more than my money, and I married her, and she has proven that over and over again since then because as long as she lets me live with her, I let her do what she wants to do. Amen? But the nature of man's heart, it can appear to be something it is not. Not only can someone deceive somebody else by a deceptive heart, but it's important to know that your own heart can deceive you. Your heart can deceive you. I'm going to go ahead and get to the end of the message. You hear the phrase, follow your heart. The heart is not a good guide for life. The heart is, you're not to let the heart guide you, but rather you are to guard your heart. Because your heart can deceive you. Your emotions can deceive you. The seat of the emotions, the part of your soul that feels and has the likes and dislikes, can deceive you and lead you to say something and to do something and to be something that you shouldn't be and that you really don't want to be. The heart is deceitful in that it can appear to be something that it's not. It can fool others and it can fool you. For example, after you're married for a while and the newness wears off and you really, the person that you thought you knew, you really know who they really are. And sometimes a man will say, well, I don't know, I'm just not in love anymore. And I just don't feel like I'm in love anymore, stuff like that. Sir, you just need to get over that. All right, loving somebody is not just what you feel, it's a choice of the will that I choose to love my spouse. And I choose to love that person. There are times that we love our children, and there are times that it is more difficult to love your children, but I still love them because I make a choice. The heart can be deceptive. We have a generation that is following their heart instead of following the Lord. And what we have is a society that has all kind of difficulties and problems. I mean, we've gotten to the point now that our young people don't know who to date and what bathroom to use. Can you believe that we are debating these things in America? Can you believe that we are even, that people are fighting, that we have those that may be a man that identifies as a woman and wants to be able to use a woman's restroom? Have we really become so ignorant spiritually that this is what we're debating about now? Really? I mean, come on, folks. I'm not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree, but I've got all that figured out. And then, again, I'm not the wisest person in the world, but I know that if you just make restrooms open to whoever wants to use them, that there's enough perverts that will pretend to be a woman to go take advantage of a woman in a restroom. I mean, my mama did not drop me on my head when I was a baby. I figured that out. But yet we have turned away from the Word of God as a society to the point that we cannot even make sound, common sense decisions anymore. And the reason that we're doing this is because we have a generation that are following their heart instead of following the Lord. And we're in a mess. And following your heart will get you in trouble. You can follow your heart and it will get you in a place that you'll wind up with somebody you don't need to wind up with, or abandoning somebody you should hang around. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. And I'm not trying to, you know, put salt in wounds or anything like that. The thing that I'm pointing out is that the heart is deceitful and therefore cannot be trusted. Not only can somebody else's heart not be trusted, but I cannot even trust my own heart, because it is deceitful above all things. Not only that, and this is what the Lord says about the heart. He said it is desperately wicked. Out of the heart of men come adulteries and evil thinkings and thefts and murders and other things, the Lord said. Where does all the wickedness in the world come from? It comes from the heart of man. It is a wicked heart that will abort an unborn baby and will support that and do what they can to keep it legal. It is a wicked heart that will deride those that hold to God and the Bible and that which is right. It is a wicked heart that will behead other people simply because they do not go along with your ideology. Where did the wickedness of previous dictators such as Mussolini and Hitler come from, and Attila the Hun? It came from a wicked heart. The heart is desperately wicked. And I want to mention this, that your heart and my heart is desperately wicked. Anything that you think of the most hideous, ungodly, perverted acts, and the combination of these things that can ever take place, and we would cringe and we would shudder at these things. But what makes us shudder more than anything should is that any and every wicked and evil thing that you see about, that you read about, that you hear about, that is going on, and within your heart and within my heart, I am capable of doing every conceivable wicked thing and combination of them. My heart is desperately wicked. And so is yours. That every one of us had the capability of doing the most perverted things, of the most wicked things, of the darkest things, and doing the most violent of things. That within our heart, within my heart, I am capable of doing these things. I was talking to a friend of mine. You could say, well, I'm not that bad. Well, if you're in denial of your wicked heart, then Satan's got an edge on you. I was talking to a friend of mine, good friend of mine, and the failure that he had, he came close to ruining everything. And by the mercy of God he was able to have a good victory and to salvage his life. But I was talking to him on the phone just this past week, and he told me, he said, "The thing I've learned that I did not see is how wicked my heart is." To realize that our hearts are wicked. Just it says here, the terminology here, it says desperately wicked. I mean, you take somebody that's desperate to be in sin, they'll go, I mean, the mouth is controlled by the heart. You know why people have a problem with their language? It's because they've got things in the heart that shouldn't be there. And the heart knows no boundaries on the depths of how far, how low it can go in sin and wickedness. And a heart that does not have the Lord Jesus residing in it, the absence of light is darkness. And how many of you say that cold exists? Raise your hand. Well, for those that do heat and air work or familiar with heat and air work, there's no such thing as cold. There's no such thing as cold. Cold is simply the absence of heat. Your air conditioner, for example, does not cool down your house. It extracts the heat out of it. Heat transfer. I learned that from George Hutto. And so the absence of heat is cool. So the absence of light is darkness. The absence of heat is cool. And the absence of God is wickedness. Evil. So when you see that the evil abounds in society, in our world, it's the absence of God. If you don't have God, then wickedness will abound, because wickedness and God cannot exist in the same place. Just like light and darkness cannot exist in the same place, and heat and cool cannot exist in the same place, even so evil and God cannot exist in the same place. The heart of man is desperately wicked. It knows no boundaries. The Lord poses this question at the end of this compound sentence: who can know it? If I am describing the heart, and again, this is, I'm expounding the scripture here. I'm looking at the Word of God, and we're taking the Word of God, and we are expounding the scriptures. There's a fancy term called exegesis, which means you look up the words and the meanings, and then you study it out. And what we're doing is we're expounding what the scripture says. We're not looking at what Baptists think about it, or what Pentecostals or any other denomination, any other group or any political party. We're looking at the Word of God, and we're seeing what it says. I want to mention this, that people, the problem that people have with the Bible is not the part that they do not understand. It is the part that they do understand. That's the part we have a problem with. Who can know the heart? Can the wise man know the heart? No, the heart goes beyond his ability of wisdom and decision. Can the young man know the heart? He cannot, because it goes beyond his youthful energy. Can the religious man know his heart? Know the heart? No, because it goes beyond his level of righteousness. Can the rulers of men know the heart? No, because the heart is beyond the control. Even the most desperate and despicable tyrants that have existed in human history, though they can control everything else, they could not control the heart. Can the modern man know the heart? No, because the heart goes beyond his levels of advancement and attainment. Who can know the heart? Man cannot. You cannot know somebody else's heart. When we say, "Well, I know the heart of that individual," I realize, and I've made that statement, and I will make it again. I understand the heart of that person. We understand that statement, but the truth of the matter is, really, we don't know anybody's heart. We do not even know our own heart. Who can know it? Man cannot. Other people cannot know your heart. And you cannot know your heart. But there is someone that does know the heart. Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Who knows the heart? God knows the heart. That which is not known by man, the heart of other individuals, and even their own heart, God knows the heart. Now, there are things that we say and do that give a picture of what may be in the heart. But again, the heart is deceitful, and the heart can produce emotions and statements and actions that would lead others to think one thing about an individual when in reality something else is what is taking place or what is going on. I, the Lord, know the heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. God who sees all things, God who knows all things, God who is everywhere present, searches the heart. He searches the heart of men. God uses the candle of the Lord, which is the Holy Spirit, to search the heart of man. He uses the Word of God to reveal to man what he is like. I think I mentioned this last Sunday or last Wednesday night. I don't exactly remember, but the Word of God is a mirror to the soul. The Word of God reveals to you who you really are. You cannot know the heart, but God knows the heart, and He uses the Spirit of the Lord. He uses His Spirit to stir the spirit of man and uses the Word of God to mirror to the soul who you really are and what you really are and what you're made of. God, who sees all things, knows all things, everywhere present. God is unlimited. You and I are limited by time. We're reminded of that by the watches or the phones and the computers that we have. Time is ticking. God, in the beginning of creation, started the clock of time, and it ticks. And it keeps ticking. We're limited by time. I cannot go back and change yesterday. I cannot see tomorrow. And one day, time is going to run out for me because these bodies are aging. We're limited by time. God is unlimited by time. God can see the past better than you can see it, and He sees everything. God is unlimited by geography. You and I can only be one place at one time. But God's Holy Spirit is everywhere present. God is unlimited by secrecy. You know, a deceitful heart loves secrecy, darkness, to cover up the wickedness that is inside. The heart loves secrecy. The wicked heart loves secrecy, to keep things under wraps, if we could say, undercover. That's what the heart likes. But let me tell you, it doesn't matter how much our hearts can cover and deceive, and to put on a front, and to try to hide what's really there. God is unlimited by secrecy. He can see what is done in the darkness of night to Him is as something that is done in the noonday sun. God sees everything. God says, I search the heart. God not only knows everything, sees everything, everywhere present and unlimited by time and geography and secrecy, but God perceives everything. I have done this many times, and you have too. I won't ask for a show of hands because I don't want to see how many people are telling the truth or not. But every one of us have put together a scenario of what we consider facts that have taken place about an individual and have come to a conclusion, and normally we come to the worst conclusion. For example, if you see two people that are talking on the other side of the auditorium, and some people think, well, they must be talking, they look at you and snicker, then you think that they're talking about you. Right? When the fact is, they may not be talking about you at all. They just looked your way and said something funny. How many times have we had that perception that somebody was talking about us and then it really wasn't? Or maybe somebody, well, that person's doing something that's not right, and then when we find out what happened later on, that our conclusion was something totally different. We can have the information at hand and have the wrong perception about what's going on. But God perceives everything with absolute accuracy. God says, I search the heart. God searches our heart. He searches the heart so that we can see what He already knows. If you're here today and you're not saved, you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ, God is searching your heart and He is revealing. Now, God's not searching to learn. How can somebody that knows everything have to seek something to learn something? God knows everything. He searches you out. He searches me out so that I can know what He knows. And God reveals, just like when the Lord dealt with me when I was, before I got saved, God dealt with me and dealt with my heart and revealed who I was, that I was a sinner, morally and spiritually bankrupt, that was in need of a Savior. God brought me to a place that I saw what He knew so that I could be saved and have a heart cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And God did that with you as well, that He cleansed your heart. God searches the heart. He searches the heart of you, sinner friend, to show you that you're lost and that you're in need of a Savior. And then I want to say to those maybe that have drifted away from the Lord, you're listening by the radio, you're here in this auditorium, that you may look good and smell good and all the, and dress good, all these other kind of things, and everything looks great, and or maybe you put on a front. I've met people, for example, that say, I was faithful to the Lord at one time, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I've had people tell me that, and I go back in my mind, and I don't never remember it. I mean, some people know things that just aren't so. That's a problem with some of our liberal friends. It's not that they're not all bad people. They just believe so many things that just don't exist. Amen? And the problem is when they run out of somebody else's money, then they run into some problem. Well, amen. We're going to learn that one. The heart is deceptive. And God reveals the heart so that you, as a Christian, that I can see that I am not as close to the Lord as I thought I was. And why does God do that? To make you feel bad? No, He wants you to get right so that you can have your joy, your peace, your power restored. Amen. God searches the heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. He uses Spirit-anointed preaching of the Word of God to reveal the heart. I try the reins. He tries the heart. The word rein, one of the translations in the Hebrew, is the word kidney, and it's a term that is used to signify the innermost being. We could say that it references to the soul as general, the soul as a whole, as I mentioned earlier. Rhyme every time, rain or shine. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Why does God try the reins of the soul? Why does He try the soul? Here's something that just came to my heart and mind. God tries the reins to bring us to a place that we need to make a good decision. Okay? The emotional being of the heart is not the decision-making part of your being. Your volition is the decision-making part of your soul. God tries the heart to reveal what's in the heart. He tries the reins so that we can see where our decision-making is messed up so we can get it right and make good, sound, practical, biblical decisions, which is a mature Christian. I try the reins to give every man according to his ways. God tries the reins so that he can give to every man. We reap what we sow. If we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap life everlasting. If we sow to the flesh, we're gonna reap corruption. God searches the heart so that he can give every man according to his ways. God will reward those that are diligent in serving the Lord and living right and living holy. And God will chasten the Christian that does not live right and judge those that do not receive him. And according to the fruit of his doings. I heard the story one time of a girl that had became pregnant out of wedlock and was being dealt with by a Christian. And the girl said, and was angry with God because she was pregnant, and asked, why did God allow this to happen? And that wise Christian said, God gave you his command to follow so that it wouldn't happen. You're reaping the result of your way and the result of your choices. You can get upset when somebody goes to jail for stealing and say, I'm mad at God because I'm in jail for stealing. Well, God commanded you, thou shalt not steal. You've got a dilemma because you've got people upset in your house or on the job because of hateful things you said, because you hate somebody. I don't understand why God allowed that. Well, God said if you hate somebody without a cause, you're a murderer in your heart. God warned you. And if you didn't hear the word of God, you've got your conscience that's trying to tell you you shouldn't do that. That's not right. And you go against that conscience. We don't need to get mad at God. We're just reaping the fruit of our ways. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. He tries the heart to show what is in the heart. And God draws out what is in the heart. That which is kept in the dark recesses of the heart of man, God can draw it out so that we can see what is there, so that we can see that we're sinners in need of a Savior. We can see as Christians that we need to get right with the Lord and to walk in the light as He is in the light. God knows what to do, when to do it, in revealing the heart of man. We talked about soul winning in Sunday school. And we talked about that we need to do our part and let God do His part. It is not my responsibility to reveal what is in the heart of man. That's God's responsibility. I am the vehicle, I am the instrument that God uses to do a work. But it's God's Holy Spirit and His Word that does that revealing. And we need to pray that people will have revealed to them who they are so that they can know who He is and be saved. He reveals the heart according to a man's ways. While the heart can be deceptive, there are things that people say and that people do and how they conduct themselves and where they go that reveal who they really are. Now, something about putting on a front, putting on a show, you can't do it forever. Sooner or later, the real you is going to come out. A person can come, they can make a profession, that we can baptize them, they can come and sound like a Christian and smell like a Christian and look like a Christian and do everything like they're supposed to do. But if they do not know the Lord and there hasn't been the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit and salvation in their heart, sooner or later the real person is going to show up. Sooner or later. You know something about the heart I want to throw in as a side note? Is that the heart, while it does influence what we say and what we do and where we go, the heart is not the agency of the soul that makes the decision. It's the volition that makes the decision. And also, that the emotions, your emotions can be controlled. You can control your emotions. For example, if you're discouraged, if you do things that you would do when you're normally encouraged, and you do those things when you're discouraged, your emotions have a tendency to match what you do. If I am defeated, and I do things that I would do when I'm having when I'm living in victory, I have a tendency to look at things better. If I have a down countenance, a poor spirit, and I do things that I normally would do when I have an excellent spirit, my emotion has a tendency to match my action. Now, I want to say this. If you are a person that is, you're always discouraged, you're always defeated, you're never thankful for anything, you're always griping and complaining, it is not because of what people do to you. It is not your circumstances. It is not even your emotional nature. Your problem is, and my problem is that we choose to be that way. We choose to be that way. God tries the reins of the heart. He tries the reins, that the part of the soul that makes decisions, to show us that we're making some bad decisions, and He wants us to make some good decisions. Amen. So if you're a real downer all the time, you choose to be that way. Don't blame it on me. You say, well, I just can't help that. You can help it. But you know, if we choose to have a mindset a particular way all the time, then it becomes a pattern of life. And only the Lord can help you break that pattern, the rut, if we could say. God tries the reins of the heart to show us that we need to make better decisions. God tries us. As I stated at the beginning of the message, and we're going to wind it up here in the next couple minutes, we are not to use our heart as a guide. We are to guard our heart. The advice, whether you listen to, it seems like that seems to be the favorite of the pop culture, well, follow your heart. Let your heart be your guide. Just follow your heart. That will get you in a big boatload of trouble. It will. You and I are to be guided by the Holy Spirit, not by our heart. The heart is a good servant, poor master. As your heart can deceive, your heart also can be deceived. Your heart can be deceived. Your heart, if it's deceived, is going to produce the wrong emotions, the wrong likes and dislikes. That's why you need to guard it. You guard it with the Word of God. You guard it with the filling of the Spirit of God. If you're lost, you don't know Christ, you need to accept the Lord and let Him come into your heart and come into your life and be your Savior. If you're here today and you're not saved, what you need is a new heart. A new heart that comes through the new birth. Comes when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then for the child of God, whatever your condition may be right now, what we need is a heart that is renewed by the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. The heart can be deceived, but the Lord can never deceive and will never deceive. Now you and I that know the Lord, we have something greater than our heart. We have Him. And we can lean on Him. That means if my heart feels and says something and the Lord says something different, I can build on thus saith the Lord. Amen. If my heart says one thing and my conscience says something else, I can follow my conscience. Amen. If my heart feels one way, if my heart says that I'm to be fearful, and the Lord says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, I can believe the Word of God and have power and love and a sound mind and not be somebody that is fearful and doubting. And I may tell you something, that'd just drive you crazy. It'll ruin your mind. We have a society that's crazy. It's evidenced by what we're seeing taking place in the debates that go on. But just because we live in a crazy society doesn't mean that we have to lose our mind along with it. Because I can be guided by the Holy Spirit. The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? God knows the heart. He tries the reins to reveal your way, to reveal the fruit of your doing, and He does that so that you can look to Him, if you're not saved, to be saved. And for those of us that know the Lord, we can look to Him and say, Lord, I am going to trust in Your Word. I'm going to lean on Your Spirit. And I'm not going to use my heart as a guide. I'm going to guard it. Now, thank God for the heart. What? Imagine if you didn't have a heart. We would be like a stone. We would be like robots going through the mechanics. I'm glad God made us emotional people, emotional creatures. He gave us the ability, the like and the not like, to feel. He gave us the ability to love. He gave us the ability to be happy and to have joy. And God desires for us to live a life that is full of joy and peace through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God answers to prayer, having His goodness and grace that is prevalent and flowing in and through your life. When that river of the Holy Spirit is flowing in you, it will help your heart to be what it needs to be, look at what it ought to look at, and to have the right composure. And folks, don't we need that? I need that. But your emotions, while they give you the ability to potentially enjoy life, can also be what will cause you to look at life as a misery. That's why you allow the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, to guard your heart so that God can give you the proper perspective that we need so that we don't have to run amok on our emotions, amen? I mean, if you trust your emotions, you'd be like the squirrel trying to run across the street. He gets stuck in the middle, can't decide where he's going to go, he gets run over. That's what emotions will do to you. But when you're guided by the Holy Ghost, and the Lord is your portion, He's a steadying factor in your life that not only will get you through to the other side, but He'll give you the joy, the peace, the happiness that you need to enjoy the journey.